relax. Transfer deadline is over and we're going to do a roundup of who's in and who's out, followed by a preview of game week one. And then the thing that I'm most excited about, fantasy football. Welcome to season two of the Football Corner, Mancha's very own home for all things football. My name is Vikram.
My name is Shreyas.
And if you're new, you can check us out wherever you get your podcasts, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, and more.
You can also find us on our website, manchamedia.com, or at Mancha Sports on all social media.
So Shreyas, let's jump right in and do this roundup.
Yo.
So it was kind of a crazy deadline day, and there was a lot of frenzy. So why don't we just do this from the point of view of teams? And why don't we start with the kings of the EPL,
right?
Manchester City.
Pesa.
Who basically managed to strengthen their squad even more, even though they didn't have a high number of signings.
Yeah, but they've made some good freaking signings.
But high quality, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So we got Rodri in from Atletico, which we've discussed.
Right.
More than just a backup for Fernandinho, because I feel like he's a much better player. And Fernandinho is also 34.
I don't know if he's better, but the potential's there, that's for sure. And coming from Atleti, coming from the side that Simeone has established, expecting big shit from him.
Yeah, and then something that I'm super bummed out about.
I'm sure.
They got João Cancelo from Juventus.
Damn, the Joaos are killing it in the transfer market.
Dude, the Portuguese, man, they stepped up their game. The team is so good, full of talent, young, old, everything. Like, it's a very, very good team. And this guy was a mainstay in Juve last season.
And he is 25 years old. So.
He's just 25. He can play on either side. So he's a proper fullback. He's technically a right back, so he said that I'm not worried about unseating Kyle Walker. That's his level of confidence right now. He's like, I'm ready to compete. I don't give a damn, whatever. And then he also played a lot on the left for Juve last season, so he's a good cover for Zinchenko and until Mendy gets free from injury. And then they sent us Danilo.
I don't think so.
He's not a bad player for sure, right? So to not break into the City first team doesn't mean you're not a bad player. You're a good player.
Yeah, he's just been missing.
But he also didn't perform as well at Real, if you think about it. That's why they were happy to let him go.
Right.
He hasn't been a mainstay in Brazilian squad, for example.
Correct.
So
last hurrah, maybe.
You took, according to me, one of the better players Juve had last season in terms of performance, and you give us someone like Danilo. Okay, fine, man, whatever. I'm not complaining. Juve had a decent window.
Yeah.
And then Fabian Delph also left for Everton.
I think that's a good move for him.
Definitely a good move for him. He wasn't being able to figure out where he sits in that squad.
Yeah.
A makeshift left back.
No space in midfield.
Central midfield. Midfield is obviously packed.
Yeah.
So he's gone to Everton. I'm assuming he's going to play more of the midfield role over there. Good signing for Everton, I guess. A little injury prone last season, at least.
Sort of. Yeah. As soon as he got injured and that red card and stuff, then Pep had no use for him. So
that's, I mean, apart from the smaller signing, that's the gist of what Manchester City's window looked like. Pretty good overall. What score would you like to give them out of 10 in terms of their transfer activity?
I'm going to give them probably like a solid 7.
Judicious.
No, because I think sort of position I think that might need some looking at is center forward, because Aguero is aging and I don't think so. Jesus is good enough to lead the line, and you've got a fantastic midfield. So I think besides that, I think they've sort of killed it. They've taken care of their defense. They're strengthening in midfield. David Silva is on his way out. I think he's got another year left in him. And they're still definitely scary.
Midfield, they have cover for literally everyone.
Yeah.
And then another person to cover that person who's getting covered. So that's fine. In terms of center forward, I see your concern with Aguero, but it's not like his age has actually come into play. He's still playing at a very top level, right?
He is, but I mean, he's 30 plus. He's still getting his 20 goal, seasons.
Which is no joke, if you think about it.
Yeah, but...
And given how many players City has who also contribute in goals directly, and still being able to get that 20 plus season is actually a great sign.
It is, but I mean, just the level of competition, how difficult it is to stay at the top in the Premier League. I think this is the last season that Aguero has to prove himself, and I won't be surprised if he doesn't do as well as we're used to seeing him, because it's just a given. Like, he just alone collects the ball. Bad game, he'll still fucking score his 2-3 goals. So I think this is, both him and Silva are going to have a tough season this season, I believe.
Interesting. I think I'd give them an 8, man, just because of the quality of Rodri and João Cancelo coming in.
Yeah.
I think that's incredible. And the way they've approached their problem areas and figured out solutions for them, with or without money, basically, is just a sign of how well Pep Guardiola understands his squad depth. And how they sort of strengthen it, just like they did with the goalkeeper position a few seasons ago. So,
but they're still going to suck in the Champions League, you see.
Interesting. why don't we just hop on over to the other team in Manchester?
The supposed noisy neighbors.
I don't know about that, man. So just to round up their transfers, they literally had only 3 players who came in.
Huge names,
yeah, essentially. So Harry Maguire finally got done after, what, 3 years? I don't even know. And then earlier in the window, they got Aaron Wan-Bissaka and Daniel James.
Yeah.
Romelu Lukaku leaves finally for Inter.
Yeah, Conte's wet dream.
Conte's wet dream. I think that should be the title of this episode, Conte's wet dream. Just off note, Antonio Valencia leaves on a free transfer. I think he was one of the better players, one of the better signings they had.
Too senior though. I mean, he's
very, very old. Yes, of course. Lost his legs. His play was just zooming down the right and then figuring out a way to cross it somewhere or close to the goal.
Yeah.
Which he did very well, but I feel like he lost his legs. Ander Herrera also went on a free transfer to PSG.
Yeah. That sucks. Their midfield, like you were saying, is kind of
their missing. Midfield is missing. I think the one sort of transfer that they should have gotten in, at least one, would have been something in midfield, because given the state of it, we don't know about Pogba. He still could leave, right? And then that leaves what, a Matic, maybe Scott McTominay, Juan Mata is there, but I really don't count him as a midfield.
Right.
So that's where they're sort of weak. The good thing to see here is that they strengthen defense, right? That's something that they were lacking in when they were just trying to figure out the best combo of 4 players between a Rojo, Phil Jones, Chris Smalling, Lindelof, Bailly and stuff. So getting Maguire and Wan-Bissaka in, I think, is a good,
major,
sort of very, very good reinforcements there. So good thinking, good sort of pursuit of these players.
And they held on to Diggy as well, De Gea.
Diggy's here, I think he got a contract extension, maybe a salary bump, maybe they'll throw the captain's armband at him, and then we might see a superhero De Gea, because last season, especially by the end, he sort of, it literally looked like he's not playing
well. Yeah, exactly. After the World Cup, he was just shit. He had such a bad World Cup, and then the spills, and he's so dependable, and you've gotten so used to him in terms of how strong he is, and single-handedly he's earned, draws and wins, and he was awful last season.
He literally felt like he was losing interest, but he's here. He knows he's here for a long time now, so I feel like that'll renew his interest. His quality, there's no doubting that, man. He's fantastic. On his best day, he's the best in the world.
Correct.
So okay, so what grade would you give United,
considering how not bad their squad was, but they had to sort of literally weed out the people who I believe are not worthy of that United shirt. In that defense, I think very, very good stuff. But again, they let go of Lukaku. They have no target man. Midfield may or may not be missing. So I want to give them like a solid 6.5.
That's pretty interesting. So you had a 7 for City and a 6.5 for these guys. I had an 8 for City. I did, right?
Yes,
I had an 8 for City. And then, but these guys, just because of the lack of the midfield thing.
Yeah.
And, they got Wan-Bissaka and Daniel James in pretty early.
Right.
And Maguire happened when it happened.
Yeah.
But I feel like the last week and a half of the transfer window, when things started heating up, most of their focus went on pushing Lukaku out.
But there were sort of rumblings of them bidding good money for both Bruno Fernandes and Christian Eriksen. And
I agree. That was a little late on. Bruno Fernandes was on throughout. I feel like that was the transfer that would have made them a solid 8.5 in my books, right?
Absolutely.
So just because they missed out on that midfield, and by pushing Lukaku out, they literally have to rely on Rashford and Martial for that forward line.
Yeah, and even in terms of the signings they made, I think that whole team is just to do with speed now, right? From Wan-Bissaka, Daniel James, Martial.
Young kids just running fast.
So it's going to be really interesting to see how you know, mid-level teams or bottom teams, just try to out-muscle them, slow down the game, piss them off, close down, you know, networks, channels of passing and quick movement. So that's going to be really interesting to see. But United are definitely upgrading, and it's interesting to see what Solskjaer is going to do with this crop.
I'm inclined to still give them a 7, maybe, right? Uh-huh. Like, I like United as a team. I want them to get back to where they were, right. Ole being at the helm.
Yep.
And plus, the moves they made at the backroom staff level as well.
Correct.
Just shows that they're going back to that old ethos of Manchester United. So, yep. Kudos to them. Next, let's talk about a team that kind of went crazy on deadline day.
London.
Or sort of, yeah, let's jump to London now, I guess. That's a good sort of geographical jump, I believe.
Yeah.
Tottenham Hotspurs.
Jesus Christ.
Wakes up after a year and a half of not making any signings.
Because they got a new stadium now.
They got a new stadium, finalists in the Champions League, yeah. Held on to Mauricio Pochettino.
Yeah.
And ended up doing, very early on in the window, breaking their transfer record for Ndombele for 60 million. Yeah. We've spoken about him.
Right.
But something that was very protracted over the entire window was Lo Celso. And they finally ended up getting him.
On loan.
On loan for 16 million from Betis. So he's finally in, attacking midfielder. Very interesting to watch what he'll be able to do.
Yeah.
And they also ended up getting Sessegnon from
Fulham. Yeah.
Now, we know he's like he owns the left side, essentially. That's his job. Traditionally, a midfielder, we've seen him play at left back as well.
Yeah.
Ended up getting him for 27 million. I think these are three significant ones. Plus, they got a few other younger kids in as well.
Correct.
And the major transfer out for Spurs still remains Kieran Trippier to Atleti for about 22 million euros.
I don't get that, both in terms of the player and the price. Like, why would the guy leave? He was doing well, and damn, that sucks, man. I mean, I don't understand what's going there.
Well, it's confusing, right? But the opinion that sort of started coming out for Kieran Trippier even before his transfer out to Atleti was that very good in offense from the wings, right? Like good crossing, good free kicks, like very attacking. Like, he has these attacking attributes, but in terms of defense, he wasn't all there. Is what the consensus, I think, turned out to be. Still a good signing for Atleti because they did lose a fullback to Bayern Munich, Lucas Hernandez. And, well, in terms of the fullback department, the mainstay for Spurs now is Ben Davies. There's Danny Rose. And Serge Aurier?
Serge Aurier is actually wanting to go back to PSG. So, I don't know. It's just a very interesting...
So, is Sessegnon half cover for a fullback position as well then? You think?
I'm sure he can play on the left, but and on the left they have Danny Rose, and even Danny Rose is not particularly first team. So, yeah, I think despite the decent money that they've spent and they've, you know, sort of upgraded their midfield and taken care of stuff, yeah, I think at fullbacks, they're going to have a slight problem, it seems.
They will. And look, it's good that they've added new names, right? I felt like the squad was getting a little stale. Yeah. Victor Wanyama had to partner up with Sissoko in central midfield. Now they have Ndombele, who's a much better option there.
Yes.
And barring the possibility of Eriksen leaving for a club outside of the EPL, I think it's definitely a step up in terms of their overall squad. So I would give these guys a solid 8, honestly, just because I'm happy to see Spurs in the transfer market being aggressive. Daniel Levy doing...
big surprise.
Yeah, just doing this and getting back to the whole hard-nosed form of transfer business.
Right.
Because what we saw from them even before the year and a half, they didn't do any transfers, was Daniel Levy being stern in terms of selling players.
Correct.
So for them to dip in and buy players and spend this much money in the transfer market is very refreshing. So I'll give them an 8.
I'm not sure. I mean, just going through this conversation and realizing that they're kind of missing in defense, and they have Alderweireld and we're talking in central defense. I can't think of anyone else. I think that it's going to be interesting to see if they struggle or not. So I think I'm going to give them another 6 just for losing on Trippier.
Wow, you really like that guy. All right, staying in London and jumping to a team which I know Shreyas is going to be very excited about.
Yo.
Let's do a roundup of Chelsea, man. Even though they're under a transfer ban, we're talking about Chelsea.
Our first signing was this Dutch guy's transfer ban. So that was our first signing.
Took me a second. I was like, did I miss out on this guy? Anyway, so Christian Pulisic, I guess, is the notable one here.
Yo.
Back from Dortmund. You guys signed him in Jan.
He's the Messiah.
He's the Messiah. He's your savior. He finally scored his first Chelsea goal in the preseason.
Right.
Is he like for Hazard? Definitely not.
No, he's not. But it's just refreshing to see him on the ball. He's very up to like running at people. He's fast. He's quick.
He's American.
He's American. If there's a high lying defense, he's happy running behind the defense, long balls. And we've got Barkley and Kovacic behind him to provide that. So lots of potential, but I wouldn't expect too much from him, at least first half of the season.
Well, he's still super young, man. He's like 20 years old.
Yeah, he's young, but even Hazard saw him play and he's like, yeah, great replacement for me. Good business, guys. But I don't know. I mean, just like give the guy a chance. And also like the Premier League being so competitive and being so hard and tough. He's going to have like Germany is very like free flowing and fast. And that's why players like Robin and Ribery survived, you know, well into their mid 30s and still doing what they were doing. I doubt they'd be able to do that in the Premier League. So he's going to have not a rough sort of awakening or, you know, find it tough, but like he's got the right attitude. He's a nice, chill guy. And you know, he's ready to do his thing. So I'm guessing he's going to find it a little difficult to do what he does or to do what he really likes to do. But with Lampard and with everything else going in that team, I'm hoping for good things.
Well, Kovacic is the other one who got confirmed. They ended up spending 40 million euros on him.
This was 72 hours before we signed transfer ban.
Smart. Well, one thing that Chelsea has going for them is a massive loan army. So Batshuayi, Bakayoko, both their loans are ending. We don't know yet if they're going to be loaned back or anything like that.
I think Bats will stay. I think Bakayoko could be still looking for suitors.
Interesting. And Tammy Abraham, now we know that one's confirmed to come back.
Yeah, Tammy Abraham is back. Mason Mount is back. A lot of young kids and showed a lot of potential both in their loans and in preseason. Again, I am not sure if these guys are up to the task, but yeah, Lampard's young himself and, you know, he's been there, done that, done it at Derby, and I'm hoping this pulls through and this first game week is going to be,
Well, the notable departure that Chelsea had, of course, was this gentleman by the name of Eden Hazard, 100 million euros to this team called Real Madrid.
Yep.
And another few ones that we'll talk about in a while. This is crazy because I'm going to ask you now to rank Chelsea's transfer market, even though they're under a transfer ban, which is kind of ludicrous.
Yeah.
And there is value to giving them a rank because there was activity.
Yes.
So why don't you go first? I'd love to hear what you have to say.
On one side, the perspective is that we're forced to look at youngsters. We're forced to look at this loan army and we have some really great potential there. Considering Kovacic and Pulisic, decent names, fit well into what we're trying to do. I don't know, just like we have no center forward. It's between Batshuayi, Giroud and Tammy Abraham. And I don't think so any of them will live up to being like a proper center forward and banging in the goals every now and then. And we're so dependent on Pedro, Willian, Barkley, Mason Mount, Pulisic to get the goals that I think we're going to struggle big time there. And our defense is also leaky. Even Lampard likes playing attacking football. He's not very big on, you know, holding the ball or holding the line. So even in preseason, we shipped in way too many goals. So I'm going to give Chelsea considering the ban was in place, like a 5.
Okay, I mean, I'm just going to give them a 6 just because they had players come in even though the ban was in place.
Yeah.
And that was only because they bought Pulisic in Jan and then they had Kovacic. They had a deal to make his loan permanent.
Yeah.
So just the fact, and they ended up making a butt ton of money just by shipping Hazard out, right?
Right.
So overall, yeah, I guess best that could have been done under a transfer ban. So. Yeah. Moving on to the next club in London, who actually kind of killed it in the transfer window.
Yeah, I want to meet their accountants and figure out what budgeting was done and what was said to the media or whatever.
So we're obviously talking about Arsenal. Very early on in the transfer window, they said we have a war chest of 40 million, which turned out to be not so true very quickly on. So the obvious big signing that they had was Nicolas Pepe for 80 million euros.
Yeah.
will be interesting to see how this dynamic between Aubameyang, Lacazette and Pepe comes out. The other one that finally happened, I don't know why they spent so much time and effort, but they finally got Tierney in as a fullback.
He's a cool kid. What the wait?
He's a good kid. I get all of that. The issue of 25 or restructuring payment to multiple seasons. Just pay the guy 25. Just pay the club 25 million and get the kid in if you really want him, man.
Yeah.
And why wait for like deadline day?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I didn't get. The other one that sort of came out of the blue for me specifically was David Luiz.
Totally, man. I mean, I think a nice replacement for the outgoing Koscielny. They need someone senior, they need someone experienced. But yeah, it was funny because with Sarri, he was very much first team. He survived the entire season and he didn't play too badly. He's good on the ball, but yeah, defensively leaking in way too much. And considering what we have at Chelsea with Zuma, Christensen, Rudiger still injured, and we have a youngster, Fikayo Tomori, maybe Lampard didn't see Luiz as first team and this suddenly came to the table like a few days ago and he's like, okay, fine, I want out. And yeah, he's getting to stay in London just like Cech did. And I think, and he has experience with Emery from PSG. So yeah, interesting build up there, but yeah, just came out of the blue.
Came out of the blue, 8.7 million euros. I feel like this also, just because of the speed, the expedited speed at which this happened, I feel like Lampard's experience of playing with Luiz also came into play in terms of Lampard's just happy to let go. Because if you have a transfer ban, to let go of any senior established player, good or bad, is not a good sign, right? Yeah. So there has to be something at a much deeper level that convinced everyone. Because the speed at which it happens makes you assume that it was okay on both sides very quickly.
Correct.
Like there weren't any protracted discussions or back and forth stuff like that. David Luiz was like, I want to leave.
Yeah.
Tampa's like, yeah, great.
Yeah.
And then even the price also, I mean.
Yeah, 8 million. Dude, what the hell? He just signed a contract extension like 2 months ago.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the rare contract extensions, multi-year for Chelsea above the age of 30. But I guess age and maybe, I don't know. It just happened. I don't know if how he'll fit into Arsenal. I guess Emery's going to use him for sure because Kosh is gone. The other one that we haven't spoken about is that happened pretty early on again, loan from Real Madrid, Daniel Ceballos.
Yes, not bad.
I think that's a good signing. Yeah. That's a good loan. I've spoken to a couple of Arsenal fans and they're actually very bummed out that it's a loan deal and not a permanent deal.
Oh, well, be happy what you've got. Jesus Christ.
Well, this was honestly, to their credit, this was before deadline day. So I guess now they'll just be happy that just Arsenal's in the news. The major one that was an out that also happened on deadline day was Iwobi.
Yeah.
Ended up going to Everton for about 30 million euros.
Surprising.
Very surprising. Yeah. He's an attacker, mostly a winger.
Yeah.
I see it because with Pepe coming in, it makes sense. And to be able to get 30 million fire, he's not that bad. Actually, ends up strengthening Everton as well, which we'll talk about. And then the free or next to nothing transfers where Kosh ended up going to Bordeaux.
Yeah.
Welbeck's gone and Aaron Ramsey's gone, baby.
Oh, damn.
So that kind of rounds up Arsenal's transfer market. Pretty decent. I would give them I'm going to give them an 8, man. I can't believe I'm saying this, but they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, considering the kind of signings they got from that 45 million war chest, I'd give them a solid 7.5.
The next club that I want to talk about is Everton, actually. So we already spoke about Iwobi coming in.
Yeah.
They got Moise Kean from Juventus.
Holy shit, where did that come from?
I don't know, man. I don't know what Juve did. Yeah, this last week, now they just, ever since they got like De Ligt in and they got those free transfers in, just like
they were just high.
They're happy to ship
smoking
out
that shit from Amsterdam.
Happy to ship out attackers as if they have like a million of them. Dybala, baat karte hain. Mandzukic, baat karte hain. Moise Kean, le lo. I mean, what's the plan there? Like Ronaldo, just like Ronaldo's playing winger, attacker, right winger, all three just running around playing it. But gladly, Mandzukic didn't go. That was the one I would have been really bummed out about because I feel like he's so underrated, but so important in that.
Yeah, he's like that unsung sort of hero.
Exactly. Type. I mean, under Allegri, he was. I don't know what Sarri's plan to do with him. I don't see him fitting in that well with Sarri. But as a backup option, he's tremendous. He's very good. And Dybala, well, guy's confusing, man. I mean, he's shown potential for 5 years now. And when you do that, it's usually not the best sign. Yeah. But protracted talks, well, very condensed over the past week, but right. United as and well Spurs. As Spurs.
Yeah. Apparently, they can't afford him. He wants like 300K.
Yeah, yeah. He's just being a little...
bitch.
Yeah. And also, there's issues with his transfer rights, which there's no need to get over. But basically, his previous agent, his ex-agent's company owns the transfer rights. And that's a big issue always in Italy, transfer rights of a player being owned by a third party.
I see.
And Spurs or United, anyone would want the image rights. Sorry, correct. I'm saying transfer rights. They want the image rights because, well, jersey sales. Exactly. The other thing that Everton's done is like they made Andre Gomes permanent.
Good stuff.
Good signing, 20, 25 million. They added Fabian Delph, like we said.
Yeah.
Then they added Jean-Philippe Bamin.
No idea who this guy is.
I don't know much about him too. But what they have done with him and Djibril Sidibe is that the outgoing Idrissa Gueye, who went to PSG, I thought was fantastic last season. Their mainstay in their CDM.
Team of the year.
Team of the year, yes. Well, only because we only had three players from City. But just kudos, man, to this guy. Great player. Great signing by PSG. Very cheap.
Yeah, 30 million seems like good business.
Great business. Very good in the CDM position. But they managed to find cover for him. So... Everton actually did a pretty solid job in the transfer window.
Right.
Again, a solid 7.58 for a team of that sort of caliber and pull in terms of expectations and everything, like the where they sit in the Premier League. To be able to get all of these players is very good. So I think they did a pretty good job. What about you?
Yeah, I'd give them a solid 8.5 as well. I mean, especially with Moise, they don't have a center forward. They have this guy called Cheng Tosin. Didn't do really too well last season. They have that kid, Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Again, doesn't really do it for them for a top 7, top 10, top half Premier League team. So this guy looks scary, but even worse that if his like idol or like mentor is Balotelli.
He's not mentor. No. He looked up to Balotelli, and I feel like that was not because of footballing reasons, but mostly race and country of origin.
But yeah, he looks solid.
I'll tell you the problem with Keane, and I'll tell you the good part. So he's young, right? Okay. He's super fast. Excellent on the ball. Good first touch.
Right.
As a footballer, he's very good. And you see all of that, right? Like he... played for Italy under 21 as well, killed it.
Yeah.
Whenever he's come on for Juve, even though he was used very sparingly, but whenever he came on, he performed really well.
Okay.
But there are disciplinary issues, right? And that's where the Balotelli starts coming in, where you see like this 19-year-old, he's coming late for practice. I think he got sent home or got banned from playing for the under 21 side,
ouch,
even in mid-tournament because of disciplinary issues.
Ouch.
So that's there. But then, you know, young kids, whatever, man. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. Balotelli, I guess, was the same when he was 19. Everyone thought he was going to be the next big thing. Even like his first season in City, for example, earlier on in Inter.
Yeah.
But you saw what that turned out to be. I bet you can't name the club he's in right now.
Oh, wait, I know Nice.
Is he?
I think he's still at Nice.
Okay, he was talking to...
Some Italy teams
and for some reason, cycling clubs in France, which I don't understand. I don't know why France has such a big pull for Balotelli.
Yeah.
But that's the problem with Keane. And I guess that's a big part of why Juventus was happy. Well, they weren't happy. They were trying to figure out a way to loan him and or put a buyback clause in his contract.
Yeah.
But that didn't work out. And that's why it took a little more time than expected. But they were still just like, okay, fine, you can go. So that's basically the last team that we're going to be covering. The only other shout out they want to give is to Aston Villa. It's going to be an entire
they
episode.
They signed a whole team. One sub or two.
And then just free loaning everyone out. Just like free transfer loan.
Kahan se aa rahe itne paise?
Well, you get to the Premier League, man, instantly, like TV rights give you so much money.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an entire episode if we start talking about Aston Villa, but they spent close to like 150 million euros on their team, if not more than that.
Yeah.
I guess that's the highest spending team in the window.
Yes.
Arsenal comes close with about 130 or so.
And then City, 110.
City comes close. Chelsea ended up doing a 40 million. That was a Kovacic thing. What's super interesting in this stat line is Liverpool, who spent about 1 million euros in this transfer window.
Wow.
That's kind of crazy, dude, if you think about it. Liverpool ended up only having one major signing or one signing total, which is Sepp van der Berg, 17-year-old kid.
Yeah.
1.9 million euros. Yeah, that's it. That's kind of crazy. I don't get it.
Even I don't get it, honestly. And I still think that irrespective of whether City was trying to upgrade or not, I think Liverpool should have gotten at least one or two first teamers or at least potential guys to challenge for first team. Because we know about their wing backs, we know about their forward wingers, we know about their center forward. But besides that, like, I don't think so Dejan Lovren, Joe Gomez, Matip, I don't think so they're worthy of, being there. And I know Van Dijk's one of the best defenders in the world and probably he does well to compensate for whoever he's partnering with. But I don't know, I think they should have probably got another central defender. Young guy, whoever it could have been, at least showed a lot of potential. Something like a, not a Dilit, but something of that potential, that sort of background. But I think second place is, they're just going to have to settle for second place again.
There are a couple of issues here. As soon as Liverpool start underperforming, the transfer activity is going to be blamed.
Yeah.
Right. But if you look at that squad, it's actually not a bad squad. They made the heavy investments last season.
They did.
So it's not like you have to do season on season. And talking about the defensive bit, I just have a feeling that Klopp has started to like Matip more and more and more.
He knows him from Germany.
He knows him from Germany and he's just started using him more and more, right? Mm. So we, as far as I can tell, the starting defensive line is going to be Trent, Joe Gomez, Van Dijk and Robertson, right? And then they have one Matip to cover for either one of them. Right. And worst case, they have a Lovren to cover for a second backup.
Right.
What I see being an issue is the fullback position. Because if Trent or Robertson get injured at the same time, he'll have to force Joe Gomez to play one of them and then get Matip into the team. And then I don't know how the other position is going to come out.
Right.
The other thing is that Ox kind of acts as a new signing for them.
Oh, yeah. Back from injury.
Didn't play at much last
season.
Most
of the season, yeah.
So him coming back, and he was showing decent form before he got injured.
For sure.
So him coming back is definitely like a fresh signing for these guys as well, right?
Right.
So I see why. Just typical German pragmatism in terms of I do not need new players. So I see that, and this new signing kind of doesn't count as a new signing. He's 17-year-old. He's gonna take a season or two to sort of come to his own.
Right.
So it's just stark to see that figure compared to everyone else, especially like the Aston Villas and the Evertons and then, the Leicesters even just going so high in terms of spends. So just like, the shock ki leya, kuch 500 se spend kar
rahe. Let's like feature on the map.
Exactly. But again, I see why not. So kudos to Klopp for not sort of succumbing, which is also pretty hard to do, man. A lot of managers just get paranoid and panic and just buy. Like, he didn't do any panic buys, which is great. Okay, so that kind of wraps up our transfer roundup. Why don't we just use that and jump to the game week one preview?
Okay.
So the first game of EPL 2019, baby.
Whoa, tonight.
Is Liverpool and Norwich.
Khattam and Norwich. Khattam. It's like they're going to wish they didn't get promoted. First game, Anfield. Khattam.
New team, man. Always tough on them. But, if Liverpool would have done a bunch of transfers, I would have been worried. But it's literally the same team. So it's not like they have to like settle and this and that. They know what the team is. They know what their game is.
Yeah, but I don't know. Just thinking about if an injury to like a Mane or a Salah or a Firmino, what, you have Origi as your backup? Seriously?
And then whenever you get Origi in, it just changes that game completely. Because Firmino actually pulls back, helps the play up.
Yeah.
And Origi is just like ball, rampage. Yeah,
exactly. Run. So that's going to be really cool to see if any of them have a long-term injury.
Who is going to suck? What are you saying?
No, because I want to see how they survive. I'm very keen to see if they maintain the same levels of performance both domestically and in the Champions League.
Well, they kind of did last season. Firmino was out for a bit, especially late on in the season. And Origi actually came through for them.
Right.
Ox comes in, so that changes things as well.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, their midfield is sorted. They've got probably 4, 5, 6 players. Probably Milner will be on his way out, and that's a nice way for Ox
to
come in.
Or they'll just put Milner as striker if one of the...
I'm sure. That guy can goalkeep. Awesome.
Yeah, bro. I like Milner, man. Yeah. He's like what Ashley Young's supposed to be.
Ouch.
Speaking of, Ashley Young named captain of United for this season.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Yeah. They love that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other candidates, we know De Gea is vice captain, that's for sure. But other candidates, what, Matic, Pogba?
Well, I feel like DDG kind of Made sense there. Matic, I see why not, because he's old, he's respected and all of that, but he's new. Well, and we know that, you know, someone like a Rashford will be a captain in a season or two later.
Mm. So yeah, what a safe salary choice. Bump, man.
Yeah, I mean, deserved, I guess.
Yeah,
if you're giving Alexis Sanchez that much money.
Oh, jeez, that guy's just...
He's still in United, by the way. Captain option? No.
Captain of the subs bench.
captain of the richest people in Man United. So that's Liverpool, Norwich. Going to be a fun game. Good opener, I guess.
Yeah.
Promoted team, best team. Face off. We have Palace Everton.
Yeah.
New Everton signings. We'll see how those go.
Yeah.
It'll be a good test for them. With Palace, the point to note here is that Zaha is still in the team.
Yeah, so basically it's Zaha FC versus Everton.
Zaha FC versus Everton. So much around him in terms of kahan jayega, kya karega.
Right.
But didn't end up going anywhere.
Yeah, first Arsenal were bidding, I think, about a 50, 60 million. They wanted 80. And then Everton were bidding...
Yeah,
some money for Zaha. That
they were bidding
happen.
Some money for Zaha. Then they came up with a cash plus player deal.
Yeah, and they still
rejected.
Said no. Yeah,
very interesting that firstly that they have put an 80 million price tag on Zaha. Makes sense.
It's maybe. Like they're not satisfied after selling Wan-Bissaka for 55 million.
Yeah, exactly. So they just want to make their money. Zaha did a pretty good job last season. I don't know where he fits in these big teams though, man. Even United was interested.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it's basically going to be Zaha versus the new Everton signings. I'm just very curious to see how these new Everton signings sort of gel in and come into play. I feel like most of them will be included in the squad. And let's see where that goes. Palace had a pretty decent season last season, but Wan-Bissaka's gone. A big part of that that last season. But Zaha's still there. So let's see how that pans out.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Spurs and Aston Villa.
Yeah, I think at halftime... There's going to be a whole, like, 12 substitutions.
The preseason style?
Yeah.
Love it, dude.
And the Spurs will be like, yo, what's going on?
So like, two of the more active teams in the transfer market. So I'm very curious to see what this new look Spurs looks like.
Yeah.
What sort of changes come into the game? I know Pochettino will still follow his... Bielsa style playing down from the center.
Yeah.
But he's got new players, new threats to sort of put that in play.
Right.
And well, Aston Villa, I'm very confident I can say I've never seen this team play.
Yeah.
Because no one has.
No one has seen them play. We don't know who these signings are. And I will not be surprised if they don't do too well and first few game weeks and John Terry's promoted to first team coach.
That would be horrible, man, because I very recently read up this guy's he's a diehard Aston Villa fan.
Okay, Dean Smith.
Yeah. His dad was part of the steward staff at Aston Villa.
Wow.
And he's just like since childhood been a Aston Villa supporter.
He goes way back.
He was, some story about when he was like 5 or 6, he was on the...
Ball boys?
No, he was on the bus of when they were celebrating some championship or something.
Oh, nice.
Like he just happened to get there. And very sad because his dad, who's worked at Villa all his life, has dementia now.
Oh, damn.
And he doesn't know that his son's a coach. So that's kind of that pinches, man. But
wow. Yeah. Now I won't be able to digest his firing. Like, what's wrong with you? This is not cool. Damn, we should have mentioned that before. Last episode.
I'm just saying. I just read it like a couple of days ago. Oh. But the thing is that it's a good story, right? It's a great story. Young guy, diehard fan of the club, managing the club at top level. Clearly the club is behind him.
Yeah,
otherwise
spending that money,
they won't spend
Jesus
that much
Christ.
Money. So good test for him as the first game to play Spurs, a new look Spurs mostly. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Next up, which is going to be a good mid-table preview for the season, I guess. Wolves versus Leicester.
Superb.
So this match might be interesting. Wolves also, they made Raul Jimenez permanent.
Yes.
And Leicester, you're a fan of Brendan Rodgers, you're not?
I'm a fan of the team. I'm a fan of the signings they've made. And but I just think Brendan Rodgers, I don't know, man. Like, the team's fantastic. And maybe Vardy's on the older side, but everyone else around him. Freaking Yuri Tielemans, man. What a freaking amazing signing.
Yeah,
I know United.
Yeah,
United are after him. So, very excited to see.
Ayoze Perez.
Another beautiful freaking signing.
So, they did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Wolves obviously killed it last season.
Yeah.
And sort of reinforce by making some of their signings permanent and pulling in a few more people.
Yeah.
Jorge Mendes probably had something to do with that. I can't let that go, man. Next up, we have Newcastle Arsenal.
Oh, very tough match for Arsenal. They're away to Newcastle. They're going to have a tough time.
Dude, Newcastle fans are going to be chanting for Arsenal, most likely. They're just so peeved with their team. But Arsenal's just getting to see their new signings come into play is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
But let's just move on to what I think is the match of the game week.
Yeah.
Frankie Frank going to Old Trafford.
Yeah.
With his new signings, quote unquote, playing a United team which has, well, I'm pretty sure Harry Maguire and Van Bissaka are instant slot-ins. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to start Daniel James or even play Daniel James.
Yeah.
Might or might not.
Correct.
But just going to be so much fun seeing Ole versus Frank.
Yeah.
You know, like old school club stalwarts facing each other under very sort of similar situations.
Correct.
Not by design, but just by output. So young players, young team, fast, quick, very new to coaching as well. I'm so excited about this match, man.
Yeah, and it's the freaking last match of the game week. Like, brutal. Super Sunday, okay, but...
Care for a prediction on this one?
Oh, Jesus. I think I'm going to go for a 2-1 to United, unfortunately.
He's such a...
realistic
fan, man. It's not fun to see at all. But 2-1 to United kind of sounds good, man. Yeah, I'd probably say the same. 2-1 to United 2, man.
Yeah.
I don't see this. Well, it's unknown. It could be a goal fest. It could be a 3-2, 4-5 or whatever, right? Because, who cares about defense nowadays? Harry Maguire slotting in, I guess, shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
He's did a decent job the past two seasons. He's a good head on his shoulder sort of a player.
Yeah,
you know what? I'm going to go with a 2-1-2. Point being that we both think that United is going to take this one, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely Chelsea underdogs, Chelsea away, Chelsea bad defense. The only thing that Chelsea's got going for them is Frank Lampard, his style of play, and that we're very attack focused. So it'll suck if we don't manage to score. But at the same time, I think we're going to have a tough time keeping United at bay at freaking Old Trafford. You know, first game of the season, everyone's gung-ho. Everyone wants to show what they're made of. A lot of preseason stuff, a lot of traveling. So this is going to set the tone for at least the first few weeks till we start Champions League group stage. Oh, but United are not in the Champions League.
Oh, God. You know what? I think I was thinking about the striker conundrum that you guys have.
Yeah.
I feel like I won't be surprised if I see Tammy Abraham start this one.
He could. Because I think Giroud has very clear characteristics of what works, what doesn't. And obviously, he's familiar with playing with Pedro and Willian over last season. But with Pulisic coming in, with Mason Mount or Ross Barkley playing that center attacking midfield role, I think it's going to be interesting to see what Lampard has tried and tested with these guys. And I think Tammy Abraham for me will also be first choice.
Interesting. So that wraps up our preview for this game week, and now let's jump to the good stuff. Fantasy Premier League coming your way. So Shreyas, set up your team.
Yes, it was brutal. Spent hours, still not satisfied as per usual.
Alright, why don't we just go through our teams real quick, man.
Cool.
Who do you have in goal?
Okay, so my first choice goalkeeper is Edison.
Okay.
Choices between Edison and Alisson. I have way too many Liverpool players, so I had to go with Edison.
Interesting.
My backup keeper is Hart. First choice keeper for Burnley, and good value at 4.5.
Good job, man. So, you know, I can already tell we both had very different approaches to setting up our team. My approach was...
Your approach was autofill.
No, it wasn't. It was good goalie. Good couple of defenders, good couple of midfielders, good one forward at least, and then fill the rest in accordingly.
Okay.
So I went with Alisson in my keeper position.
Okay.
I wanted David Button from Brighton as my backup. Who cares?
Is he even first team?
I don't care, man. He's the cheapest option. My second goalkeeper was the last position filled, basis of how much money I have in my bank.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so he's at 4 and Ryan at 4.5. He's first team. So 0.5. Okay, yeah. Fair.
I saved 0.5, man. So the money left in my bank, incidentally, is 0.5 right now. What about your backline?
Okay, so I've got Wan-Bissaka.
Okay.
Obviously, very tried and tested. Definitely first team.
5.5, not bad.
5.5, fantastic value. The rest of them, I think, yeah, he's my most expensive. I've then got Patrick Van Aanholt, who plays either left back or right back at Palace.
Oh my God. So I already know. Van Bissaka is your most expensive defender?
Yes.
Oh my God. I mean, even you can have like the Salahs and the Sterlings and everything up there.
Something like that.
Okay.
So even Van Aanholt, 5.5. Sort of expensive for Palace, but he's done really well the past couple of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've got Toby Alderweireld.
Okay.
Again at 5.5.
Right.
Usually I always go for wingbacks because they rack up the assists. Right, if they get a clean sheet, that works as well. But I had no top six players except for Wan-Bissaka. So I had to go for some guaranteed clean sheets. And he pops in with a header every now and then.
Right.
Then I've got Craig Cathcart from Watford, 4.5. Another solid player, great value. Watford, they don't do too badly. And finally, I've got Issa Diop from West Ham, again, 4.5. So all first teamers, all on their good days will pop in on with a corner header here and there, get bonus points here and there. So not too sort of happy with the backline just because of the values, but that's what I had to do.
Well, I totally see your point about the wingbacks, and which is why I also went with Wan-Bissaka. I also went with Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Oh, damn. What's his value? Seven?
Seven.
Damn.
Seven. Because, dude, like, just the potential for assists. He takes free kicks as well.
Yes, corners.
Corners as well. Plus, well, we saw a lot of clean sheets by Liverpool last season as well. So.
Yeah, but why would you not go for a Robertson? Because Robertson has, like, almost 40 points more.
Because Trent played lesser minutes.
Ah, I see.
Trent played lesser minutes and he got like a close enough point total. And I feel like Robertson might be a 7.5 or he's a 7.
No, he's also a 7. But minutes played, that's huge. Yeah, yeah. He's almost played 800 minutes more. That's almost 10 games.
Exactly. Because Trent was injured for a big chunk of the season,
oh,
right?
Oh, damn, so, good stuff.
See, I did research, man. I actually, by default, just went with Robertson because I was looking at points tally.
Exactly.
And then I read up a little bit and I realized that, yeah, he did play less.
Right.
So Alexander-Arnold for me, Robertson does the same thing minus the
free kicks
for
yeah.
example.
Correct,
right?
Correct.
Then I kind of buckled and got Laporte in.
Oh shit, lots of money.
6.5, but yeah, City clean sheets.
Yes.
I had to get someone from City's backline in, if not the goalie.
Right, but are you not worried?
I am.
Yeah.
He has a knock, 75% chance of playing.
Yes.
Maybe.
That's good enough, but he may not start. But like, who else do they have? They have Stones, they have Otamendi, and they have Kyle Walker. Those are the three backline, right?
Well, I don't see a problem with Guardiola starting...
Laporte?
Starting Otamendi.
Right.
Because Otamendi still played enough in the preseason and stuff. It's West Ham, sure, it's going to be a tough game, but I don't know.
So, and again, Laporte 6.5, and you didn't go for Walker, who's at a 6.5 saving, and Walker has a knack for shooting long-distance goals, assists...
Yeah, well, I went with Laporte because I'm just hoping for some bonus points from him this season.
Uh-huh.
He's been their best performing center back last season.
I'd say so, yeah.
And then Kyle Walker, well, I don't know, man. I just with Joao Cancelo coming in, I'm not sure of what his positioning is going to be there. I don't want to take that risk.
Because even you could have gone for John Stones, who's at a 5.5. Even Otamendi is at a 5.5.
John Stones and Otamendi, I don't trust at all.
Oh, shit, really?
I don't think Pep likes either of them. He's just playing them for the sake of playing them.
Oh, damn. No, so, because like I remember Stones when he was at Everton. There was this major hue and cry because Chelsea were bidding for him left, right and center.
Right.
He put in a transfer request and the fans gave him so much a stick just for that. He was in tears. I remember there was some FA Cup, Carling Cup game. And after the match, the fans were sort of giving him stick and he was in tears.
Right.
And then he missed that window. He stayed. Next fucking window, splashed the cash, 50 plus million, gone to City. And it actually made sense because he's one of those very rare defenders who's extremely good on the ball. It's only because he's so young that he's probably sometimes has a little too much of ambition with the ball.
Yeah.
And he tries a little too much and he gets his team into trouble. But yeah, with Pep sort of coaching him, I'm expecting big stuff.
Well, me too. At least last season I was. And then we saw him in the UEFA Nations League as well for England.
Yeah.
A little panicky at times.
Yeah.
So I know Laporte's going to be their mainstay.
Correct.
Right? That's the safest bet.
Yes.
Between Kyle Walker, I feel like Kyle Walker and Cancelo playing on the left makes more sense as opposed to making Cancelo and Kyle Walker fight for the right position. So I don't know what the situation there is. I wanted to ensure a Man City sort of clean sheet situation, so I just put Laporte in.
Cool.
And the other one I have is Alderweireld, just like you. So I actually ended up spending quite a bit on my defense. As my backup defender, I have Diego Rico from Bournemouth. Again, 4 million. I just put him in. Okay, now I feel like we're getting to the point where all your money is going to start showing. What's your midfield look like?
Cool. So I've got Mane, Sterling. I've got Mane 11.5. The only reason I didn't go for Salah is because Salah's at a 12.
Okay.
And also, I think Salah gets more goals, but Mane gets more assists.
Right.
So that's okay for a 0.5 difference.
Right.
Sterling, just because he's Sterling, no need to say much there. And my mid-table guys, I've got Felipe Anderson. Extremely well last season. Hoping he continues the same thing. And Joao Moutinho, man, he's just a 5.5.
Yeah, he is.
The only thing is that between him and Ruben Neves, they're so like central. And I think Ruben Neves plays more of the playmaking role. So that allows Moutinho to sort of roam around a little ahead of him. So I went with Moutinho. And my backup guy is Isaac Hayden from Newcastle, first team of 4.5.
Interesting. Okay, so I have Sterling as well, because just like you said, Sterling is Sterling. There's no better way to put it. I put in another City midfielder. Would you like to guess who it was?
Bernardo Silva.
No.
Sané.
Nope.
Silva.
Nope.
Jesus Christ. Who? Fernandinho?
KDB.
Oh, damn.
Just because of his injuries, his price is 9.5. And we know he's fully fit. And we know what a fully fit KDB is capable of. Man.
Correct.
In terms of goals and popping in at the right time for... in terms of assists and popping in at the right time for goals as well. So I'm just hoping KDB does what KDB did two seasons ago.
Right.
For 9.5, I thought it was a pretty decent spend. And I just tried to maximize my points from the midfield in terms of people who might score goals. So some surprising inclusions there, like Salah and Mane, for example, are counted as midfielders.
Yes.
Similarly, Lucas Moura is counted as a midfielder.
Right.
So I have him as well for 7.5.
Very cool.
Similarly,
will Lucas Moura be first team?
I'm hoping.
If he, because only when Kane was missing was when Lucas Moura came to the helm last season and killed it. Every time Kane's starting, we always have Eriksen, Son, and Ali behind him. And there's no space for Moura.
But Ali's injured.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And who I also pulled in is Wilfried Zaha.
Oh, and also Son is suspended for the rest of the month.
He is suspended for the rest of the month, yes. I got Zaha in for 7.
7. Yeah, even I had both Zaha and Anderson, both of them at 7, and I wanted both of them. But, let's see.
I don't get Zaha for 7, though, honestly. I think he should be a little more than 7.
I don't know. I think he's going to have a tough start of the season because there's just so much of stuff going on in and around him. Because he was playing AFCON and everyone was after him. And apparently he did put in a transfer request. And there were also rumors that... Palace wanted some Chelsea players on loan, and Chelsea said, we'll only give them to you if you keep a hold of Zaha and then we can sign him next season. And none of that happened. Chelsea didn't give any players on loan.
Right.
So interesting to see where Zaha's head's at and if he's still in it, and or if he's just going to put on a show and then try for something maybe in Jan or next season.
Okay, you're bumming me out now, Ryan. So Zaha was my... And then my backup is, I don't know why, but I have Matteo Guendouzi.
Oh, damn. He's like imagine him and David Luiz playing on the same team. They're both there.
Yeah.
The
pros. So that's my midfield lineup. I'm hoping Zaha's head is where it's at and Lucas Moura starts. Yeah. And these guys just give me a lot of goals going forward. Forward line.
So I've got Josh King from Bournemouth.
Okay.
Did, again, great stuff last season.
Okay.
6.5, very good value. And then I've got Roberto Firmino. I believe the hardest working.
I agree. But from a FPL point of view?
I don't know. I mean, he bangs in the goals every now and then. I mean, obviously, he takes a back seat when it comes to Mane and Salah. Always getting bonus points because he just runs his ass off.
I guess just having Mane and Firmino in your team just hedges your ability to get points from that Liverpool front line. So I think that's good.
And third, I have Raul Jimenez.
Interesting that you said Raul Jimenez, because I had him in my first draft, but I threw him out and got Jota in.
Oh, nice. What's the price difference? I need to see this.
Jota 6.5.
Oh, shit. A whole 1 million. Not bad.
So I did that. I have Marcus Rashford in my team. 8.5.
Okay.
And just to hedge some situations where Liverpool might screw up, I got Origi in.
Oh, damn. But for that, Firmino has to be injured.
Yeah.
He's your third striker, so.
Yeah, he's my third striker. So I don't plan on playing him a lot. So I have Rashford and Jota as my primary strikers. I feel like most of the time my team's going to look like a 4-4-2. But the caveat there is that two of the defenders are have potential for some attacking points.
Yeah.
And literally all four of my, if things play out well, all four of my midfielders have attacking points potential as well.
Right.
So I don't need to overload the front three with players who always play. So yeah, that was my team. I like your team. I feel like your prudent approach to defenders actually might just push you over the line. And we've started a league for the Football Corner.
Yes.
And we want all our listeners to join in. And we'll have the league code in the show notes. And don't worry about joining in late as well, because we'll be doing a phase-wise giveaway approach as well. So whoever wins a particular phase, they can join up just before that phase. Or if they joined in mid-phase, then their entry will be taken into account for the next phase as well.
Yep.
And we'll have pretty cool giveaways for the winner of the league. I know Shreyas has been joking that we're going to give Euro 2020 tickets.
Wait. I'm not joking. You're joking.
Oh, you're serious?
I'm very serious.
All right. So you're responsible for figuring out where those tickets come from. Possibly the final is what I see written here.
Absolutely.
All right, man. May I go even if I don't win? I'm pretty sure I'm not going to win this league, but...
Let's see. I think we can do one for the winner, and then we can do one for most innovative or funniest team name.
My team name is the best, by the way. We didn't talk about that. Good. Thanks for reminding me.
I don't get your team. What are you trying to say?
That Juventus is greater than City.
Oh, God. Seriously?
That's it's facts as well as a catchy team name. So wait, what's your team name again?
Oh, so it's Orion 11.
Orion 11. There we go. Just pulling up our league. So we have quite a few people who joined in already. Right. I'm surprised that this many people are joining in, because I thought that people would just be setting up their team today, as we speak.
Yeah.
And whoever's listening to this podcast, again, the show notes will have the league code. You guys can join up whenever you want to. That's not a problem if you're joining up late, because we'll be looking at our phase-wise situation as well. So that wraps up our rundown of the FPL. I'm pretty stoked about this one, as well as the game week, which is going to start tomorrow. We're going to be releasing an episode on Monday, reviewing the game week. Maybe Shreyas is going to be happy. Maybe he's not going to be happy.
Maybe I don't turn up.
Maybe you don't turn up.
Sitting in my...
If United beat Chelsea 6-0, will you turn up for the episode? Or will I have to do this one solo?
Oh,
you know what? Then I'll pull in Harsh, because he's a United fan.
He'll be like, bro, we're winning the league, bro. We're winning it.
Oh, God. He'll start seeing absurd hopes like we're winning the Champions League as well, even though they're not in it. But yeah, that's what crazy fans do, right, usually. So that wraps up this episode of the Football Corner. Like I said before, the league code is in the show notes. You can catch us wherever you get your podcasts, or on Manchester Sports on all social media. And we'll be back on Monday to talk about the first game week.
Cool, let's do this.
Catch you guys then.